Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you may be. Welcome to the Scribe Vibe with Janae, the podcast that takes you on a thrilling journey through the enchanting world of books and the art of writing. I'm your host, Janae, and I'm absolutely delighted to have you join me on this exciting adventure. Guess what? I've rebranded! And with this new, I've added a segment to my podcast called The Writer's Talk. This video recorded segment will take you on an exciting journey of the featured artists. You'll learn more about their work and we'll dive deep into their writing world. The video is always ready to be viewed on my channel, Janae Writes Books, which is on YouTube the day after the podcast airs. Also, in each episode, we will go in depth into the captivating realm of literature, exploring the countless facets that make writing such a fascinating and rewarding craft. From the intricate process of crafting compelling characters to the secrets of weaving intricate plot lines, we'll unravel the mysteries of storytelling together. And that's not all. We'll also keep our finger on the pulse of the ever-evolving publishing industry, discussing the latest trends, the most groundbreaking authors, and the books that are making waves on the literary scene. Whether you're an aspiring writer eager to hone your skills, a passionate bookworm, always on the hunt for your next favorite read, or simply one who appreciates the timeless magic of a well-told story, this podcast is tailor-made for you. So grab your favorite beverage, find a cozy spot, and let's embark on this exciting journey together. From the do's and don'ts of the writing world to the hidden gems of the literary scene, the Scribe Vibe with Janae is your ultimate guide to navigating the enchanting landscape of books and the written word. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened as we explore the boundless possibilities of storytelling. Without further ado, let's dive in and discover the incredible world of writing together. Welcome to the show. Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. And welcome back to another episode of The Scribe Vibe with Janae, the podcast where we delve into the ins and outs of writing, editing, and publishing. I'm your host, Janae. Hi, and today we're diving into one of the most crucial aspects of the author's journey, getting. Did you know that more than 1 million books are published every year in the United States alone? Yet only a fraction of those make it to the bestsellers list. Navigating the publishing world can be as daunting as writing the book itself. But fear not! Today, we're breaking down the key components of the publishing landscape and exploring the current trends that can help you make informed decisions about your writing career. Publishing a book has never been more accessible, yet the path to getting your book into readers' hands is more varied than ever. Broadly speaking, there are two main routes you can take: traditional publishing and self-publishing. Each comes with its own set of challenges and opportunities, and understanding these can help you choose the path that best aligns with your writing goals. Traditional publishing involves securing a book deal with a publishing house. This process typically starts with finding a literary agent who will represent your work and pitch it to publishers. If a publisher is interested, they will offer you a contract, often including an advance for your future royalties. The publisher then takes over the production, distribution, and marketing of your book. One of the most significant advantages of traditional publishing is the level of support you receive. Professional editing, cover design, and a marketing team can significantly boost your book's chances of success. However, the competition is fierce, and the process can be long and arduous. On the other hand, self-publishing offers you complete control over your work. You can publish your book on platforms like Amazon Kindle Direct Publishing, KDP, Ingram Sparks, or even your own website. This route allows you to set your own timelines, keep a higher percentage of royalties, and have creative control over every aspect of your book. However, the responsibility for editing, design, marketing, and distribution falls entirely on you. While self-publishing can be quicker, it requires a substantial investment of time, effort, and sometimes money to ensure your book meets professional standards. The publishing industry is continuously evolving, with new trends shaping how the books are produced, marketed, and consumed. One notable trend is the rise of hybrid publishing models, which combine elements of traditional and self-publishing. Hybrid publishers offer various services for a fee, allowing authors to retain more control over their work while benefiting from professional support. This model can be attractive option for authors who want the best of both worlds. Another significant trend is the increasing importance of digital and audio formats. With the advent of the e-reader and the popularity of audiobooks, more readers are consuming books in these formats. For authors, this means considering how to optimize their work for digital and audio platforms, potentially reaching a broader audience. Moreover, the role of social media and online communities in book marketing cannot be overstated. Platforms like Instagram, TikTok, and Goodreads have become powerful tools for authors to connect with their readers, building their brand and creating buzz around their books. Understanding how to leverage these platforms effectively can make a significant difference in your book's visibility and success. Join me as we dive deeper into these topics and uncover practical tips and strategies for navigating the publishing world. Whether you're aiming for a traditional book deal or planning to go the self-publishing route, this episode will equip you with the knowledge and insight to make your publishing journey a success one. Before you even think about sending your manuscript to agents or publishers or uploading it to a self-publishing platform, it's crucial to ensure your work is polished and professional. This means going through the process of editing and proofreading. Editing and proofreading are essential steps in preparing your manuscript for publication. Editing involves revising the content, structure, and flow of your work to enhance clarity, coherence, and overall quality. This may include organizing chapters, improving dialogue, and refining character development. Proofreading, on the other hand, focuses on correcting grammatical, punctuation, and spelling errors. Even minor mistakes can distract readers and detract from the credibility of you as a writer. Many authors benefit from hiring professional editors, as a fresh set of eyes can spot issues that the author might often overlook. Additionally, beta readers, people who read your manuscript before it's published, can provide valuable feedback from a reader's perspective. Once your manuscript is thoroughly edited and proofread, the next step is formatting. Proper formatting ensures that your manuscript meets industry standards, making it easier for agents, publishers, and readers to navigate. For traditional publishing, this typically involves standard font, like Times New Roman or Arial, setting margins to 1 inch on all sides, and double spacing the text. Your manuscript should also include a title page with your name and contact information, and page numbers should be included in the header or footer. If you're self-publishing, the formatting requirements may vary depending on your platform. For ebooks, you need to ensure your manuscript is compatible with various e-readers, which may involve converting your file to formats like EPUB or MOBI. Print books require additional consideration, such as designing a cover and setting up the interior layout. Once your manuscript is ready, the next step is to craft a compelling query letter. Ah, the dreaded query letter. This is your chance to make a strong first impression on agents and publishers and persuade them to read your manuscript. Key elements to include on your query letter include the following elements. Introduction. Start with a brief introduction mentioning why you are writing to this particular agent or publisher. If you have a personal connection or recommendation, mention it here. Provide a concise and engaging summary of your book. This should include the main plot points, the primary conflict, and the genre. Aim to capture the essence of your story in a few sentences. Share a bit about yourself, including any relevant writing experience, previous publications, and professional background. If you have expertise in a particular area that relates to your book, highlight it. Conclude with a polite and professional closing, thanking the agent or publisher for their time and consideration. Include your contact information and mention that you have a full manuscript available upon request. When crafting your query letter, be mindful of common mistakes that can diminish your chances of success. Avoid vague and generic statements. Be specific about your book's unique elements and why it stands out in this genre. While it's important to provide a comprehensive summary, avoid overwhelming the reader with too much details. Keep it concise and focused on the main storyline. Each agent or publisher may have specific submission guidelines. Failing to follow these guidelines can result in your query being disregarded. Always read and adhere to submission instructions. A generic query letter that doesn't address the specific agent or publisher can come across as unprofessional. Personalize each letter to show that you've done your research and understand why your book is a good fit for them. Just like your manuscript, your query letter should be free of grammatical and spelling errors. Proofread it multiple times and consider having someone else review it before sending it out. By meticulously preparing your manuscript and crafting a compelling query letter, you will be well on your way to making a strong impression on agents and publishers, increasing your chances of getting your work published. Securing a literary agent can significantly enhance your chances of getting published, especially in the traditional publishing realm. A good agent will not only help you find the right publisher, but also negotiate contracts and provide valuable industry insights. Finding the right literary agent requires thorough research. Start by identifying agents who represent your genre. Resources like Writers and Artists Yearbook, Query Tracker, and literary agent websites can be invaluable. Look for agents who have successfully sold books similar to yours and pay attention to their submissions, guidelines, and preferences. Social media platforms like Twitter and LinkedIn can also provide insights into an agent's personality and interests. Following agents on social media can help you understand what they're looking for and how they interact with authors. When approaching agents, personalization is key. Begin by crafting a tailored query letter for each agent, highlighting why you believe your manuscript is a good fit for their list. Follow the submission guidelines meticulously, as each agent may have specific requirements for submissions. Consider attending writing conferences and literary festivals where you can meet agents in person and pitch your book. These events often offer opportunities for one-on-one meetings and workshops that can provide direct feedback on your query and manuscript. Once you have an agent or decide to go the direct submission route, the next step is submitting your manuscript to publishers. This approach you take can vary depending on whether you have an agent or not. If you're working with an agent, they will handle the submission process, leveraging their network and industry knowledge to find the right publisher for your book. Agents know which editors they are looking for new material and can position your manuscript in the best light possible. For authors without agents, the process involves submitting directly to publishers who accept unsolicited manuscripts. This can be more challenging, as many major publishers can only consider submissions through agents. However, small presses and independent publishers are often more open to direct submissions. Publishers receive countless submissions, so understanding what they look for can help you stand out. First and foremost, publishers are looking for a compelling story with strong, well-developed characters and a unique voice. They want manuscripts that fit their catalog and resonate with their target audience. In addition to the quality of the writing, publishers consider marketability. This includes a book's potential to sell, its alignment with current market trends, and the author's platform and reach. A strong online presence and a clear marketing plan can enhance your submission. Publishers also appreciate professionalism. A well-formatted manuscript, a clear, concise synopsis, and a polished query letter can make a significant difference. Demonstrating that you have done your homework about the publisher and explaining why your book is a good fit for their list can also work in your favor. The submission process can be lengthy and requires patience. Whether you're submitting to agents or directly to publishers, it's essential to keep track of your submissions. Use a spreadsheet or dedicated tool like Query Tracker to monitor your agents or publishers you've contacted, the date of submission, and any responsive view. Rejections are an inevitable part of the submission process. It's important to remember that rejection is not a reflection on your worth as a writer. Sometimes a manuscript may not be a good fit for a particular agent or publisher, but it could be a perfect for another. Use feedback from rejections constructively and continue refining your work. Whether you're navigating the submission process, it's a good time to start building your author platform. This involves establishing an online presence through social media, creating a professional author website, and engaging with your potential readership. A strong platform can make you more attractive to agents and publishers, as it demonstrates your ability to market your book and connect with your readers. If you're fortunate enough to receive an offer, understanding the terms of the contract is crucial. This is where having an agent can be particularly beneficial, as they can negotiate it on your behalf and ensure that your rights are protected. Key aspects to consider include advance, royalty rates, rights granted, such as print, digital, and audio rights, and the length of the contract. If you're negotiating a contract on your own, consider having a literary attorney to review the terms. Ensuring you understand what you're signing will help you make an informed decision about your career. Once your manuscript is accepted, the path to publication includes several stages, including editing, cover design, and marketing. Working closely with your publisher or self-published service to ensure that this stage is handled professionally will help contribute to the success of your book. In the editing phase, you may go through several rounds of revisions with a professional editor. This process can be rigorous, but it ultimately strengthens your manuscript. For cover design, collaborating with a skilled designer can help create a visually appealing cover that attracts readers. Marketing and promotion are vital to your book's success, whether through traditional media social media campaigns, book tours, or online promotions. Effective marketing strategies can significantly boost your book's visibility and sales. Getting your book from manuscript to market involves navigating a series of steps and working closely with various professionals. Understanding the timeline and what to expect can help you manage your expectations and stay on track. The timeline for publishing a book can vary depending on whether you're going through a traditional publisher or self-publishing. For traditional publishing, the process can take anywhere from 12 to 24 months from the time your manuscript is accepted. The timeline includes several stages. First is acquisitions. Your manuscript is accepted and the contract is negotiated and signed. This can take a few weeks to a few months. Second, the editorial process. This involves multiple rounds of edits, developmental, line, and copy edits. Each round can take several weeks, depending on the extent of the revisions needed. Third, production. Once editing is complete, your manuscript goes through formatting, cover design, and typesetting. This stage can take a few months. Fourth, marketing and publicity. Leading up to the release date, the marketing team will work on promotional strategies. This phase can start 6 months before the publication date. Five, the release. Your book is officially published and available for purchase. For self-publishing, the timeline can be shorter, often ranging from a few weeks to a few months, depending on how quickly you move through each stage. You have more control of the process, and you also need to manage each step or hire professionals to assist you. Editors play a crucial role in refining your manuscript, ensuring it meets all professional standards. There are several types of editors you might want. The development editor. They focus on overall structure and content of your manuscript. They provide feedback on plot, character development, pacing, and other big picture elements. Line editor. They concentrate on sentence and paragraph level, improving flow, style, and clarity. The copy editor. They review your manuscript for grammar, punctuation, spelling, and consistency. The proofreader. They conduct the final check to catch any remaining errors before publication. Working with editors involves a collaborative process. Be open to feedback and willing to make revisions to enhance your manuscript. Communication is key. Ask questions if you're unclear about any suggestions, and ensure that your vision for the book is respected. Once your book is ready for publication, effective marketing strategies are essential to reach your target audience and maximize sales. Building an author platform involves establishing your presence and credibility as an author. This includes your website. Create a professional author website where readers can learn about you and your work. Include a blog, book excerpts, and a way for readers to sign up for your newsletter. Social media. Engage with readers on platforms like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Share updates, behind-the-scenes content, and interact with your audience. Mailing list. Build a mailing list to keep readers informed about your new releases, events, and special promotions. Offering a freebie like a short story or a sample chapter can encourage signups. Promoting your book involves a mix of online and offline strategies. Plan a launch event, either in person or virtually, to celebrate the book's release. This can involve readings, Q&A sessions, and book signings. Send press releases to relevant media outlets, including newspapers, magazines, blogs, and podcasts. Aim to secure interviews and reviews. Reach out to book bloggers and reviewers to get your book reviewed. Positive reviews can significantly boost your book's visibility. Run targeted ads on social media platforms to reach potential readers. Use eye-catching visuals and compelling copy to attract attention. engage with book clubs and offer to participate in book discussions about your novel. This can help spread word-of-mouth recommendations. Collaborate with other authors and influencers in your genre to cross-promote each other's work. Navigating the publishing process and marketing your book requires a combination of strategic planning, hard work, and persistence. By understanding the steps involved and leveraging the right tools and strategies, you can successfully bring your book to market and reach a wide audience. The path to publication can be complex and multifaceted, but understanding the various options available can empower you to make informed decisions about your writing career. Whether you choose traditional publishing, self-publishing, or explore alternative routes like small press publishers and digital-first imprints, each path offers unique opportunities and challenges. Traditional publishing involves securing an agent and working with a publisher, offering professional support, but with a longer timeline. Self-publishing provides complete control and faster publication, but requires the author to manage all aspects of the process. Thorough research and personalized query letters are essential for finding an agent who fits your genre and goals. Understanding what publishers look for and following submission guidelines can increase your chances of acceptance. Being aware of timeline, working with editors, and building your author platform are crucial steps in the publishing journey. Effective and promotional strategies, including social media engagement, book reviews, and media outreach, are vital for reaching your target audience. Exploring small press publishers and digital first imprints can provide additional opportunities for getting your work published. The journey to publication is filled with challenges, but it's also incredibly rewarding as an experience. Remember that every successful author started where you are now, facing uncertainty, rejection, and hard work. Stay persistent, keep honing your craft, and continue to seek out opportunities to share your stories with the world. Your unique voice and perspective are valuable, and there is an audience out there waiting to read your work. Keep pushing forward and don't be afraid to explore different paths to achieve your publishing dreams. As we wrap up today's episode, I'm excited to introduce our next segment, Writer's Talk. In this segment, I sit down with fellow authors to discuss their writing journey, tips, and insight into their writing world. Today, we have a special guest, J. Suzanne Wilson, who will be sharing her experiences and advice on getting published. Don't forget to visit my website at www.JanaeWritesBooks.com for more resources and information. You can reach out to me directly at JanaeC@JanaeWritesBooks. If you enjoy today's content and would like to support the show, consider becoming a Patreon on my Patreon page at Ream Stories, REAMSTORIES.com/ Janae's Dark Romance. Now, let's dive into Writer's Talk with J. Suzanne Wilson. And we're back to the segment of the episode called Writer's Talk with Janae. And with me today is the lovely J. Susan Wilson, and she is writing her debut novel, but maybe we can take a peek and see what she's up to, her writing journey, and all about publishing. Suzanne, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Good. What inspired you to blend historical elements in fiction in your writing?
Well, I studied ancient civilizations in college, and so I've always been interested in antiquity and mythology and all of things like that. And I have always read historical fiction, so it just was kind of an easy transition for me to write historical elements into my story because it's a Greek myth retelling anyway, so it's kind of already built in.
Okay. How do you choose your historical periods and settings for your story?
Honestly, it's what I studied in college, so it kind of is what I've always been interested in, and it's what I know, it's what I understand. I've just been fascinated with Greece and the Bronze Age and a little bit later, so it made sense for me just to kind of keep along that same track.
What kind of research do you conduct to ensure your historical accuracy is in your novels?
Yeah, I read a combination of original materials, so plays and poetry from, you know, antiquity. And then in addition to that, I use a lot of textbooks. I'm really fortunate that I live in a college town, so I have access to the university library. So I have access to all sorts of textbooks and academic materials, just, you know, very easily accessible to me. So I use a lot of textbooks. I spend a lot of time in the library, and you know, I do also do some internet research, but you know, it's a little tricky because you need to make sure that the sources are, you know, well researched as well. So I tend to try to stick mostly with published books versus internet, but sometimes you can't help it.
Can you describe a moment when you discover a fascinating historical fact that significantly influenced your narrative?
I can describe a historical fact that I came across that I didn't really use it in my narrative, but I did use the information, you know, when I considered the information when I wrote my scene. So I was researching medical practices in Bronze Age Greece, and I happened to come across the story of a later Greek woman who practiced as a physician, probably about 700 years later than what I was writing. But I found it just really interesting that she was, you know, a woman who was kind of sort of allowed to practice medicine for a while, and then the men kind of got a little threatened by it, so they took her to court, and then ended up allowing her to continue to practice medicine after the court trial and everything. But it was pretty interesting. I didn't necessarily use it in my story, but I did write a female healer into my story. She didn't have the same conflicts that the, you know, legendary woman did from the later period, but it was interesting.
Have you done, have you revealed the title of your book?
I have. It is The Death and Life of Iphigenia.
Ooh.
So, it's the Greek retelling, or so retelling of the Greek myth of Iphigenia. And, I take a little bit of a different take on it. And so she doesn't, for anybody who's familiar with the story, her father sacrifices her to the goddess Artemis, but in my version, she does not actually get sacrificed, and so my story kind of covers what happens after that.
And what's the name of your protagonist?
Iphigenia.
Iphigenia, okay.
Yep. Some people say Iphigenia, and some people say Iphigenia, so there's all sorts of ways to pronounce her name, but it's a complicated one.
How do you handle the inclusion of real historical figures in your fiction, and what liberties do you allow yourself?
Well, I kind of have, I suppose it could be an advantage or a disadvantage, but the figures in my story are not necessarily historical, they're mythological. So, you know, possibly some of them existed at some point in history, but their stories have been so mythologized over time that they're not, you know, they're no longer, you know, accurate representations of anybody. So I have a lot of leeway in that respect, where I can invent pretty much anything about any of these characters. I do try to stick with the traditional myth as much as I can, as much as it makes sense for my story. So, for example, in my story, I have her father who tries to sacrifice her, and he, in the traditional stories, he kind of struggles back and forth with that decision, and so I can include that in my story. But yeah, there's not a lot of the historical part of the fiction that I'm writing is more in the culture and of the region of the time, so not necessarily specific people, if that makes any sense.
That does. It does. Can you discuss the importance of setting in historical fiction and how you bring the time and place to life for your readers?
Yeah, I mean, the setting is, in many ways, with historical fiction, is almost as important as the characters. You know, you really want to immerse the reader in the time and place that you're writing about. And so, you know, I try to include food and clothing and, you know, customs. And I have a lot in my story. I have a lot of rituals, like religious ceremonies and things along those lines. So, you know, for that, I go off of written record as well as paintings and sculpture from the time. Yeah, just try to use that to really paint the picture for the reader of the world that my characters would have lived in.
What's your writing routine like, and how do you stay disciplined and motivated?
I write in the mornings, so I tend to write before I do anything else.
And I know, that's great, isn't it? Great.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you have to, because if you don't, then, you know, at least in my experience, if, you know, if I say, okay, I'm just going to check email real quick, or I'm just going to hop onto Facebook or something, then, it, you know, 2 hours go by and it's gone.
Right. Exactly.
Yep. Yep. So, which is a little challenging because I'm definitely not a morning person, but it works. It works. I usually get a couple hours of creative writing in the mornings, and then I do work. I have a real job, so I have to do that. And then in the afternoons, I do my more like editing, which doesn't, you know, it's not quite as creative. Like, it's not creating new text, so it's a little bit easier for me to do that in the afternoons. That's usually what I do. And to stay motivated, I just prioritized it. A couple years ago, I decided I'm going to prioritize this. I want to get this book done. So I just kind of dedicated myself to every morning on weekday mornings. I get up and that's the first thing I do.
Have you ever tried writing at night?
I can't. No, I haven't. I haven't tried it. I'm fried at night. I can't think. Yeah. No. What about you? Do you write at night or in the mornings?
I cannot write at night. I tried it. I've tried it several times. I'm more productive at night. I am a morning person, so I like to get up super early. If I get up in the afternoon or anything like that, I can't write.
Yeah.
Do you outline your novels extensively before writing, or do you prefer to cancel?
No, I outline. And part of that reason is because I'm retelling an existing story. So there are certain, you know, portions of that story that I want to make sure I maintain. So that's part of my plot. But then I also plot the parts of the story that I'm, you know, inventing. I also plot that. And I, I do stray from that every once in a while. I'll stray from the plot a little bit, but I always end up going back to it. Like, I'll circle, you know, I might have a character that kind of takes a little detour, but always ends up right back on the plot. So, you know, I do allow myself that freedom within reason.
It was a question I was going to ask, and I can't remember what it is. I was going to ask you something. How do you handle writer's block, especially when dealing with a complex historical detail?
Yeah, so I've been fortunate so far. I haven't really had a lot of writer's block. Definitely nothing serious, but I do find that plotting helps because, you know, there are some days where you just don't feel like writing a scene, you know, something. So then when I have a plot, I can just skip to the next scene, or I can skip to the next chapter, or I can say, okay, well, I feel like writing this today. So I kind of know where the story is going, so I could keep writing, even if it's, you know, so that kind of helps with kind of staying away from writer's block. And then, I think just those days where it's just really hard, you know, sometimes I just kind of, I might edit instead of write for that particular day, but at least I'm keeping my mind, you know, kind of in that world, and I think that helps too.
Is this your first book?
It's the first book that I finished. So yeah, I mean, I've been writing since forever. So I have maybe 3 unfinished novels out there, or out somewhere. I don't even know where some of them are, but on some computer somewhere I think I started 3. I have one of them is pretty close to being done, but I don't think I'm going to finish that one. So yes, this is my first one that I've finished.
Mm-hmm. Were they also historical fiction?
2 out of 3 were, yes. Yep. Yeah. The one that I didn't finish and probably won't is a Robin Hood retelling. So it was a completely different world, a completely different story.
You like retelling?
Apparently I do. Yeah. Yeah.
Good. How do you ensure continuity and consistency in your historical writing novels?
Well, I've only, you know, finished the one, so I can't really say quite yet, but I do plan for this book to be part of a series. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't really have a plan, I guess, now that you say that, for ensuring consistency. So I need to create a plan.
you should create a Bible, I forget what it's called, the something Bible, where you have all your books in one place and you can refer back to it. Because I use Scrivener for my books, and all my books are lined up. And so I can refer to notes that I've taken. I can refer to the outlines that I've made, and everything that I have is all in Scrivener, all on one side of the page.
Okay. Okay. So you just use one Scrivener file or folder for all of that?
No, I use it in one Scrivener project, and all the stuff is lined up on the side.
Okay.
You know about Scrivener?
Yeah, I use Scrivener too. Yeah, I use it. I've used it for this project, but I was kind of wondering how I was gonna move over to the next book when I'm ready. So it's good to know.
All you need to do is make it into a folder. Make another folder for it, and just have it on the side with you, and you can just refer back to it as you like.
Okay, that's a good idea. I will do that then. That'll be my series Bible.
There you go. Can you share a bit about your editing process and how you find your manuscript?
Yeah, so I self-edited 6 rounds, and the first round of editing I just did on my computer. I just converted it to a Word document and then read through it. First what I did is I read through the book as if I were a reader. I didn't have a notepad. I didn't take notes of any kind or anything, which was really difficult to do, but I just kind of made some mental notes on, you know, where kind of some problems were, And then I edited in Word. And then my next phase was I printed it and then edited by hand, which is amazing because you pick up completely different things. And eventually I did send it off to a developmental editor who recently gave me my report back. So I'm currently working on, working through her suggestions and making improvements.
Good. Good. Have you submitted your book to beta readers?
I have. Yes, I've had. I have a critique group that I work with, and so they've read significant portions of the book as I was writing it. But then I also just recently worked with a beta reader who, we exchanged work, and then he gave me some really great feedback also. So, so between the developmental editor and the beta reader, I think I have a pretty good solid grasp on what the kind of big picture issues are. And then after this, I'll send it to my copy editor, who then will, go down line by line and come up with suggestions for more of a granular improvements.
I just did an episode on criticism, constructive and destructive criticism. How do you handle it?
I'm actually not too bad with it, surprisingly. I kind of thought it might be difficult, but the people that I've worked with so far, at least, have all been extremely helpful and kind and considerate, and they provide nothing but constructive criticism. And I use most of it, not all of it, but I don't take it personally. I've asked for help. So they're providing, when you ask somebody for help, you kind of have to brace yourself sometimes for what they might say.
It's hard to take criticism for the first time, especially on something as personal as your first novel. I try to tell my listeners that, because my podcast is for the newbie writer, and I try to tell them to not take it personally, to not get so invested in their work, but to look at it from a different perspective. So
I do think it helps working with fellow writers because, at least in my experience, we understand each other and we understand how hard it is to put yourself out there and to hand over a rough draft that you might not be very proud of, but, you're looking for feedback. And so I think everybody's kind of all on the same page. I do think it's going to be difficult to start getting feedback from readers, like maybe in Amazon reviews or Goodreads reviews or something, where maybe that they're not quite so kind or considerate. That might be a little harder
to handle.
I'm not looking forward to that.
They're not always bad. It's just different kind of experience putting yourself out there on the main stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long did it take you to write the novel?
It took me 1 year to write the first draft. So I did 6 months worth of research before, and I didn't allow myself to write any words during that time. So I did 6 months worth of research, and then once I started writing, it took a year to write the first draft, and then it took maybe another seven or eight months to edit it to the point where I felt comfortable sending it to an editor, a professional editor. So, I'm still in the middle of that process of professional editing, but I'm kind of hoping to have it published towards the end of this year, which would put me at about a 2-year time frame for start to finish.
Somewhat accurate. Okay. So are you going to be traditionally published, or are you going to be self-published?
Yeah, I'm going to self-publish.
Self-published?
Yeah. I've been spending the past couple years learning all about the whole industry, and I'm actually I operate a business already, so I'm kind of excited to run the business end of self-publishing. I'm kind of excited about that, actually, so might make me kind of weird. But I'm looking forward to that. I really looked into both options as far as traditional versus self, and just having being able to have full control over the entire process is appealing to me. I'm definitely looking forward to that.
A lot of people say that. A lot of people say that. How do you plan on promoting your book once it's published?
Well, I already have a very small email list, and so I'm hoping to... Oh, I definitely will promote via my email list. And then I've also already started social media pages, so I plan to promote on social media. I don't know that I'll do any paid ads at the beginning, probably just mostly organic, but... Those are kind of my main... Oh, and podcasts. Those are kind of my main...
Yeah.
My main strategy there.
What advice would you give to writers who are currently seeking publication for their historical fiction novels?
Traditional publication or just self-publication? Or
just publication in general.
Yeah. I think it's, in historical fiction, the primary goal is accuracy as much as you can, and so make sure you really know what you're writing about, really understand the time period and the location and the culture, and also make sure you understand what popular covers, book covers are looking like, and kind of definitely read within your genre and your subgenre. So like in my case, I've been reading all of the latest and greatest myth retellings that have been coming out. So just so that, I kind of understand what readers are looking for.
I want to ask you a little bit about your job, actually. I want to know, because you create websites for authors, right?
I do. Yes, I do.
Tell me a little about that.
Yeah. So I create, I've been creating websites since 2015, in other industries. And I've recently started working with authors on building websites in Wix, which is a very user-friendly. The reason that I choose Wix as a website platform is because it's very user-friendly. So once the website is built, then the author can manage it themselves and update it themselves if they want to, rather than having to continue to pay somebody, to make little tweaks to it and all of that. So I actually have a business name called Bookbound Design Company. And that's what I do. I just build websites for authors, whether it's just informational. So like my website right now personally is just has information about the book that I'm writing, but then, obviously eventually I'll add purchasing information where people can actually buy my book directly off the website. So
how important do you think it is for an author to have a website?
I think it's really important, especially now, I've heard horror stories of Amazon kicking authors off of their platform, or, we've actually seen it with social media algorithms changing, and we have no control over any of those things. So you do have control over your website. And so if you maintain an up-to-date platform where readers can always find you no matter what. If Facebook disappears tomorrow or you get kicked off of Amazon or whatever, they can always come back to your website and find information about you and find places to buy your books. So I think it's really important to have that space that you own in, you know, in the world that nobody can take away from you.
What exactly would you need to get started with getting a website?
So you need a URL or a domain name, which is very inexpensive. I don't know, just maybe like $20 a year or so to reserve your domain. And then if you were to use Wix, like I recommend, then you would, you know, need to sign up for a Wix account. And honestly, that's it. You don't really need anything else. It's very easy to do. And you can get a one page website up and running fairly quickly, like within a few hours, probably.
I was going to ask you how long it would take to create a website.
Yeah, I mean, it depends how in-depth it is. So if you're just wanting a kind of an introduction to yourself, like, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I write, these are the books I'm working on, I would say maybe I suppose it depends on how tech savvy you are. You don't have to be real tech savvy for Wix, but, you know, I'd say maybe a couple of hours for something like that. And then, you know, if you're wanting something more in depth that has several pages to it or has e-commerce and the ability for people to buy straight from you, that obviously would take quite a bit longer. But
you spoke of and tell them your business name again.
Yeah, it's Bookbound Design Company, and it's the website is bookbounddesign.com, and I also have Instagram, Bookbound Design Co. is my Instagram.
Okay. And you had spoke about getting an email list. How did you go about doing that? Why is it important?
Well, yeah, first of all, I think it's very important. Again, it's another thing that you own that nobody can take away from you. Once you have the subscriber list that's yours, and it's important, you know, I use it to kind of showcase my personality and to keep people up to date on the book that I'm working on now, and then eventually, you know, up to date on where you can buy the book when it's ready and all of that. And the way that I got my subscribers that I have now, honestly, is through, I did run some meta ads, so mostly on Instagram, but also a little bit on Facebook. And I was very specific in my ads. So I think it's really risky to get subscribers through social media ads, because you don't necessarily know that those people who are subscribing are actually interested in what you have to offer. But what I did was I was very specific, and in my ad, I was very clear on who I was and what a subscriber can expect from me and how often I'll send an email. And then once they got to my website, they had to double opt-in. So that means that they had to insert their email address once, and then they got an email sent to them, which they then had to confirm. So, I mean, we've all done that, right? You sign up for something, you get an automated email that says, click here to confirm your email address. So it was kind of a way for me to know that these people jumped through a few different hoops in order to sign up for my list. And so they seem to be more engaged than they would be, I think, otherwise.
And what are you working on now?
I'm still working on my first book. I'm still working on edits, and my mind has started to shift a little bit to book two, but
yes.
But I'm mostly still really trying to focus on book one. I did start working with a cover designer last week, so I'm really excited to see what she has to come up with, or what she comes up with. So.
Well, you'll have to come back after you've launched and everything so you can tell everybody all about it and promote it and get it out there, get some sales,
get
and everything.
Well, thank you. I will. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, and hopefully where, soon.
Where can the listeners find you as the author?
I am under jsuzannewilson.com. Suzanne is spelled S-U-S-A-N-N-E. And my Instagram and Facebook are both under J. Suzanne Wilson.
Well, that is all the time we have for Writers Talk, everyone. I want to thank Suzanne for coming on the show. And everybody remember, writing is a journey, not a race. So, see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And with that, we've reached another episode ending. I want to thank my guests for joining me on today. And I want to thank my audience for listening to The Scribe Vibe with Janae. I hope you've gained some invaluable insights and feel inspired to continue your own writing journey. Remember, every episode is packed with tips, tricks, and real life experiences to help you navigate the writing world and publishing. If you've enjoyed our time together, I'd be thrilled if you take a moment to subscribe to the podcast and my YouTube channel, Janae Writes Books. Leave a comment, rating, like, or a review. Your support means the absolute most to me and helps me continue to bring you the content you love. Plus, it allows me to reach even more aspiring writers and book enthusiasts like yourself. For a wealth of additional resources, including writing prompts, book recommendations, and exclusive content, be sure to visit me at my website, www.JanaeWritesBooks.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things writing and publishing. And hey, if you're an author with a story to tell, I want to hear from you. I'm always on the lookout for incredible guests to feature on the show, whether you're a seasoned pro or a debut author, traditionally published or self-published. If you've got a book you're eager to promote, drop me a line at Janae C. That's J-A-N-A-E-C as in cat at JanaeWritesBooks.com. With guests in the subject line. Share a bit about your book, your publication journey, and your launch date, and I'll be in touch to discuss the possibility of having you on the show. Remember, the video portion of this episode will air on my channel on YouTube the day after the podcast episode airs on Spotify or wherever you listen to this. That is Janae Writes Books, found on YouTube. Thank you again for being a part of the Scribe Vibe with Janae community. Until next time, keep reading, keep writing, and never stop chasing your literary dreams.